D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We're back. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Derek and I thank Chase McCabe for filling in for us for a segment.
Yes.
We had to take our company pictures.
Absolutely. We did the 1990s version of a prom picture or class picture.
Yes. I was thinking more of
like 1990 class picture.
Did y'all do the Step Brothers photo?
We did not do the Step Brothers photo. Also, by the way, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow is here with us as well. We can rope Hutton into this too. The pictures we did take were reminiscent. You're watching a game. You're on a network, so you're watching the Final Four on CBS. And in the lower part of the screen, there's a Chiron, I think that's what it's called, for a new sitcom. And you have the two buddies back to back with the arms crossed, like, these guys, they look nothing alike. They can't possibly be roommates or friends.
One's goofy, one's cool.
That's an odd couple. I can just look at this picture and I know those two. Yes, those two get to crazy hijinks. So, but we took our pictures.
In middle school, guys, why did our I don't know, why did my parents choose the 6th and 7th grade photos to keep and actually think those are good? That's the most awkward stage of any kid's life. Those are the ones where you're like, you know, your awkward phase where your teacher's trying to force you to look stupid, you know, you don't have half your teeth and all that stuff. You're like looking at the camera like you're cross-eyed.
Well, I will tell you, adding to that humiliation is, for those of you who were bar or bat mitzvah like I was, your bar mitzvah photos, which are taken in that same time, except you're in the suit that you never wear and you've got your yarmulke on. Very strange. I did get a kick out of several months ago. We attended Jared Stillman's and his partner's, Lindsay's, baby shower. And Derek was getting a kick out of all of Jared's family photos and his bar mitzvah photos, right?
Yes, mainly his bar mitzvah photos. It was just like a collage of Jared. And it was the way he was standing on each one. I don't think he really knew what to do with his hands or his body, period. His mom would just stand there, Jared, take the picture.
It's always awkward. Yes. You're always comparing yourself to the other people in the room. And everyone else crushes it, you know, and then it's like, I'm awkward. And for whatever reason, like, I didn't have like a ton of neckties growing up. I had a Winnie the Pooh necktie.
Oh, shit.
That is in one of the, I mean, just in one of the photos. That, again, is the one that my parents just was like, they're like, this is the photo we're actually going to order from the school this year.
Hey, you're probably still a hit. Yeah, I remember that guy.
that's hanging at home, back home, just like Jared's collage.
Exactly.
Hutton, I was reading Field Yates's most recent mock draft at ESPN.com. It was published today. And, of course, he has the Titans taking Cam Ward. No surprise there. But he writes underneath, quote, absent a Godfather-style trade offer, one the Titans cannot refuse. Also, can we retire the Godfather, he made me an offer I can't refuse? Can we put that into our list of banned
That's a good
words
question. That's debatable because that's a great movie. I mean, it's a great movie.
Nevertheless, absent a Godfather-style trade offer, one the Titans cannot refuse, Field Yates, I fully expect Tennessee to take Ward and build this franchise around him. Do you think that any team is going to make that Godfather-style trade offer between now and 3 weeks from tomorrow when, mercifully, the NFL draft begins?
No, I mean, the Giants, with what they did their quarterback room, kind of, you know, they put that out. I mean, it would be Pittsburgh, if Rodgers doesn't end up going there, but I mean, he's throwing with DK Metcalf. Look, what type of headline is that? I'm thinking, okay, if you do have the draft haul, yeah, you're going to make the trade, but that also tells me like the Titans are like every other team right now. They're not enamored with this quarterback crop, and I mean, it's the bad year to have. last year we knew who the quarterback was going to be. In the great quarterback drafts, you know who the quarterback's going to be. And the draft info is always cyclical. I'm telling you, coming up, there will be reports that the Titans are – they can't make up their mind on what they want to do. It will go to that storyline and then back to
Cam. No, 100%. This is happening. There's no doubt about it.
It's going to happen. That they can't figure it out, and they're not getting the offer that they were hoping for. So they're at a crossroads. That will be the next headline that comes out from the NFL.
I predict that will come out a week from today after Colorado's pro day and Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter's private workout with the Titans. So bookmark it for a week from today. We will be hearing that storyline.
Yeah. And guys, I was thinking about this. It's the number one pick in a team's trading for a quarterback. There is a minimum I've got to receive to give up that pick. There's the draft and then there's this quarterback draft. And if the Giants or whoever is going to move up and draft Cam Ward, I need a future first round pick. I mean, that's the going rate here. I'm not taking less just because it's a bad quarterback class. I've got to build up my roster. And hey, the Titans need a quarterback as well. So, you know, it's either you give me future first round picks, or, you know, give me I'm getting my third round pick that I don't have. I'm getting an extra second, whatever it might be. And if not, Ward can be our quarterback, because that's more valuable than whatever picks I'm going to get in return for a number one pick where the value is franchise quarterback. But I just don't think the draft haul is out there. And, I mean, what type of trade would it have taken for the Bears to trade out and give away Caleb Williams? We weren't hearing that. So, to me, that report is saying the Titans like him, but they may not. And I don't know what that ultimately is reporting.
I don't think it's – I think everyone, and rightfully so, because the Titans haven't leaned too far one way or the other. If it does seem like they're leaning toward, you know, selling off to pick or trading off to pick, they swing back the other way a little bit. So I think this is a case where they've set the bar so high and they understand that. But they're just looking for that one team to, you know, sort of take a bite and move up to the number one spot. But if not, then I think they're leaning more toward, if I had to bet, I think it would be Cam Ward. And they are all right with taking him, because I think they, and I've said this before, I think they believe that either way, they are going to be traveling down the road that they want to go as far as rebuilding this team. We can either do it by trading out of the number one pick and accumulate more picks, which lead us to our one, you know, so many picks in the top 100 in so many years, or we can do it by drafting a quarterback. Either way, we are comfortable at moving forward. And I just think they set it so high that I don't think, unless these teams get extremely desperate, I don't think no one's moving up.
Yeah, and I mean, as a GM, I'm thinking my career is attached to this guy. It's the number one pick, and I'm taking a quarterback. And certainly the coach with a quarterback coaching background is getting not his first quarterback, but his second now in as many years. You don't have very much time, especially with Amy Adams Strunk. Regardless of patience and the three-year plan, they can talk all they have to show improvement. And are you going to be able to develop this guy? I mean, in the Anthony Richardson draft, behind the scenes, they were standing on the table for Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. I don't get the sense the Titans are doing that. So are you putting your job on the line for that? Or are you trading down and you figure something else out? Are you trading for a quarterback in the league? I'm not saying, Mace, I would do that. I would roll the dice on a 50-50 proposition, quite frankly, with a rookie. But I understand the sentiment of, we're not sold on this guy, and the other teams aren't either, because we're not getting the draft haul that we want. And maybe it's a huge bluff. I just don't – why play the long game there when you don't have as many suitors as maybe you thought you did?
Yeah, that's – I mean, either way, I just think they're going to look at it from the standpoint and you're right, but I just think they're going to look at it from the standpoint, listen, we'll take them. We feel good about them. I think eventually that's where they're going to get to. We'll take him. We feel, you know, really good about what he can do for our franchise, because if you don't want to give up the picks, because whether you believe that a draft is deep or not, the number one pick holds value. The number one pick in a draft holds value. And
I think Cam Ward on the value list, though?
Yeah. Or
just player for player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not like, I wouldn't list him in the top five right now.
I mean, I'd say he would probably, he's still in the top six or seven for me. Just overall talent. But is he a top two, three guy? I don't know. I mean, because the top.
Travis Hunter
would be one. You know, Abdul Carter, but with his foot, yes, he could be two, but the foot injury. And then behind that, you can throw anybody at that three spot. You can throw Gentry at the three spot. You can throw one of the receivers. You can throw another defensive lineman. You can throw an offensive tackle in that list. After those top two guys, there's not like, oh, my goodness, this guy's third. No, I can throw Cam as the third best prospect or top five prospect. So if I can do that, if the Titans are thinking from that standpoint, if I can still have him in my top five prospects, then he's worthy of that number one pick. Or if I have him in my top four, because everybody prospect list isn't the same.
No, that's fair. But here's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a guy who's further down that list, if we're being fair about it, and he's coming in to start with this roster. You have to show development.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the rubber meets the road for me is what is realistic with this quarterback this year when Amy Adams Strunk has made it clear, and they have made it clear about the head coach, draft, develop, and retain. That's what he has to show. And as we well know, it is tough to come into the league as a rookie and play well at quarterback, especially with a roster the way the Titans are built, where they have one wide receiver and not a true number two. It's not as easy as the way things worked out in Washington and pieced together there. They don't have the roster and the talent and the veterans, Mace, that Caleb Williams did. And he didn't have an offensive line, but he had veterans at receiver. Point being, what's realistic for a rookie coming in who's not the top tier A-list, you know, A1 talent, if we're just listing off just pure NFL football players? Some guys will be regarded as, you know, can't miss home runs. There we go back to the conversation the Titans were having. If you have a truly transcendent player, are you passing on that guy to take a guy that, you know, you're increasingly intrigued, I think is the way they're describing it. It's fascinating because this is just the year that they ended up with, and they have to have a quarterback. And we know their quarterback currently is Will Levis, the starter number one. I don't think you can just roll it back with him.
It is the central question, no doubt about it. Jonathan Hutton is with us, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. So another part of the equation, and I was reading about this today in terms of the Browns and what their plan might be, especially with their whole Deshaun Watson debacle that they're trying to get through. But somebody wrote an article suggesting, I think they had an unnamed executive saying, hey, they might be tanking to get Arch Manning next year. So let's talk about him specifically. Do we think next year at this time we'll be talking about Arch Manning, hands down, first pick? Because we know it can change drastically from just month to month, let alone year to year.
I mean, his uncle stayed an extra year. They didn't come out early.
Yep.
You know,
and he's not started. He started, a couple of games because of injuries, right?
Yep.
So he won't have a lot of reps, even if he plays the whole year next year.
No guarantee that he's coming into the league automatically.
Do we know of any other prospects right now?
Say that again, Willie.
Well, okay, let's finish up the thought on Manning first before we get to other quarterbacks that might be out the next year. Because I think if you're the Titans and you have the first pick and you're going to pass on Ward, you have to be doing so with at least an idea, as much as you can know right now, about what could be coming down the pike next year.
That's fair. But, I mean, the brand name, the name on the back of the jersey itself is phenomenal. Do I expect success? Yes, the man needs to have success. I just don't think that it's a foregone conclusion he's entering the draft a year from now. And then, you know, injuries play a factor, all that, development, all of that. But you know you're getting the professional approach. And we also know that, you know, Archie made sure that Eli didn't go out west. So I think it just depends on the teams at the top as well with their business side of it too. And here's the thing about Cam Ward, to be fair for him. It's not a huge negative that he would be the third or fourth quarterback selected last year in a draft where six of the top 12 picks were quarterbacks for good reason. I mean, that still puts Cam in that mix. And the Titans would love to be in that mix right now, considering the options that they have if they don't go Cam Ward. There's just not the true alternative that I think everyone's just pointing to. If they trade back, like, trade back and get Shador, there's just no guarantee. If you want the quarterback, you have to draft him as you have him at number one. And it's a quarterback league. Are you tying yourself to him, or are you going to play the long game and try to figure out something with the veteran? It's a huge decision where there is a lot of indecision about which way to go right now.
We know the Predators are probably going to have, depending on what happens in the lottery, somewhere 3-2-1, between 1 and 5. What a lot of people say, and this comes up some in football, but maybe not as specific to the quarterback as sometimes you hear in other sports. For example, this is not supposed to be a loaded draft for the NHL. Next year's draft is considered supposedly going to be a lot better. Now, how they know that, it's hard because these kids are, the kids in next year's draft right now are 16 or 17 years old. That's crazy to think about. But apparently the high-end talent is that good for next year that it's significantly better than this year, at least in terms of depth. But quarterbacks, so beyond Manning, do we think that there's a potential crop of quarterbacks that could be better than this year's group? Because that's the wrap on this year's group. It's not a great year if you need a quarterback in the first round. What do we know about next year?
Well, I mean, I think what we get stuck doing, I say we as the collective sports fan and media members, we're comparing it to the crop this year. I do like the quarterbacks that stayed back. You know, Carson Beck in Miami is going to have success. He's going to be playing an easier schedule. He's going to look really good. Aller, he's going to look really good when he's not playing Ohio State or Michigan. You know, like that's what happens. But I do like the prospects of them. And we're also discussing quarterbacks who were behind Manning now in the talking head world, but who were, you know, preseason favorites for the Heisman and the number one overall pick a year ago in Vegas. So, I mean, compared to Shador, who, you know, no, there was hype about him being a top five or top 10 pick, but it was Carson Beck that everyone was talking about for number one. I guess that's what I'm saying. There was always, next year's crop was always ahead of this one. And so I think as the collective group, we're stuck comparing it, but actually trying to spin it as if it's some great, you know, 2024 draft. What we saw last year is few and far between. You also have to have the teams line up the way it did last year that need quarterbacks, and or a team that's willing to, you know, give up the farm to move up to get that guy. And it fell the right way last year for everyone but Vegas.
It's always evolving, and now you've got older quarterbacks staying in school. That's make it a little different than it was evaluating 5 or 10 years ago for sure. Hutt, before
they're not developed the same way because they're moving around so much.
Oh yes,
you know,
another
the coaches just jam pack everything in. There's no time to develop the player for your system because he's leaving. That's going to play a factor too in how these guys are graded.
Quick one on Tennessee and sort of closing the book on this era, because they're going to have a lot of new players next year, and that's one that I'm intrigued to see how Rick Barnes goes about it. But as you try to, you know, when we look back on this group with Ziegler and these guys that have gone through it, so close to making the Final Four without making it, D-Mace and I and Adam had a great debate on this on Monday, because I made the point that there are over 100 programs that would sign up for the last 5 to 7 years and maybe beyond of what Rick Barnes has done. But yet, in some people's minds, it just leaves you wanting more, even though they lost to a great team. They lost to a one seed the last couple of years. So it's hard to say that they came up short of expectations. But at the same time, you have all these chances to get to the Final Four, and they haven't had the breakthrough year. It's a tough one to sort of tough nut to crack, shall we say.
It felt like the Titans-Bengals game in the playoffs to me. You throw three picks and you just come out and fumble the ball. Like you didn't play like you had consistently played during the season. And it was one of those nights, but it's also like give credit to Houston. We knew it was going to be a grind and 15 points at halftime. And you're just thinking like, what just happened here? There were a handful of players extremely emotional over the weekend. We see this every year, but I mean, like truly, the coach is there. There is a camaraderie, a friendship, a family aspect that I'm not sure we will feel as much of in the coming years, because the teams that are put together on an annual basis are beating the other team that kind of mesh well together. But there is a sentimental aspect of that I appreciate. So, I also gravitated to that thought just because, I mean, there's Houston, they keep players together. Of course, Duke's got a lot of players that they brought in, but they're freshmen, right? Michigan State comes to mind. There were teams like that. And then you have a lot of transfers. I mean, the graphic from the other day, last week, was phenomenal.
Wasn't that something?
But there are plenty of players. But, you know, the Vols had transfers. But he felt like they had been together for some time, because you just don't feel that same passion. Like you don't remember the names on the back of the jersey and who they play for. And that was this team. So yeah, I think this one will take a long time for these guys to get over, because they had it right in front of them. And a team like Houston, where if you come out and make your shots, you get a great chance to win that game. And they felt like they were starting to pick up and catch fire again.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Hutton, great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
Do we all have Duke winning it or no?
You're not getting that answer from me.
I'm not
going to say it.
But my bracket, and I'm a guy that is, I am religious in the, I fill out one bracket. I might enter a lot of pools, but I'm filling out one bracket. I'm not doing one over here, one over there, entering three different ones over here. I have one bracket, and it's got Florida beating Duke in the final. So Florida has to beat Auburn and then beat Duke. That's not easy. And of course, Duke's got to beat Houston. Houston is way better than I thought. I did not think a team could bully Tennessee. Tennessee is one of the toughest teams that I watched all year long, and they just flat out got bullied by Houston. So any one of the four could win it, I think. But I've got to go with what I said beforehand. Before the tournament started, Florida over Duke.
Florida's comeback the way they did in 4 minutes, it was a championship moment.
I don't think Florida's played a great game. They've had to bail themselves out. They're lucky to be there.
That's how you win the title, though.
Yeah.
Always great to be with you guys.
Always a pleasure. Jonathan Hutton joining us from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, 615-737-1025. I do want to get into the Will Levis conversation, because Chad Brinker said some things about Will Levis to Jim White a couple of days ago. We haven't addressed some interesting comments about the future of Will Levis with the Tennessee Titans. 615-737-1025. Let me tell all of you that D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick is proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game.
This offensive line went from heinous as a group to what's expected to be a very solid group, something that Will Levis has not had a chance to work with. And then his receivers and tight ends have been one of the most abysmal as a group since Levis has been thrown out here in the NFL. He's got no protection. He's got negative protection. He's got horrific protection. And receivers that as a group are not getting open and not making plays for him. And he's trying to make plays, but making mistakes on the way. And because of that, Levis has not had a chance to show what he can do. I think if with the improvement in the offensive line if they could bring in some good young receivers to add to Calvin Ridley, Levis might end up being as good a quarterback as Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward will be in the NFL. I don't think they should bail on Levis right now because I don't think they have any idea how good Levis can be. And I think the fact that the label that's been hung around his neck that is more the offensive line of the receivers than it ever was him is totally unfair to Will Levis. And I would love to see him have a chance to compete for that starting job with better people around him.
Trevor Maddich going to the mattresses for Will Levis yesterday on Stillman and Company. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. So let's talk Will Levis for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Jim Wyatt sat down with Chad Brinker, a.k.a. the supreme ruler of football.
Of football.
Yes, at the league meetings in Palm Beach, Florida. And this is the quote that Chad Brinker gave to Jim Wyatt. Wyatt wrote, quote, "The Titans have not had trade talks with anyone about quarterback Will Levis, contrary to a report earlier this month." This is the quote from Brinker. "That's a false report. We have not contacted anybody, and nobody has contacted us about Will Levis. I don't think anything has changed from the time somebody asked me about this a month ago. What's the plan for Will Levis? The plan with Will Levis is he has a chance to compete for a starting job next year, and that's like every player that's on our roster. It's no different for Will. I see him in our facility. He's working hard. Everybody knows he's a great kid. He's a hard worker, and he's going to give it everything he has, and we're going to continue to work with Will Levis." That was Chad Brinker. This was Brian Callahan at those same meetings. Quote, "I had a very straightforward conversation with him when the season was over, when we were getting ready to leave, and I just said, look, you worry about you. Don't worry about anything else. Control the things you're capable of controlling and put the work in for yourself. It doesn't matter what we do or how we do it and expect there to be competition. I'm excited to see what it looks like when he gets back." Let's start, Derek, with what Trevor Maddich said yesterday with Jarrett Stillman. Do you agree with any of that?
I agree with the, you know, the analysis on, and everybody. I mean, it doesn't take much to know that this offensive line wasn't good. But it affect others, and it affect each individual in different ways. So I do agree with that part that, okay, listen, the offensive line wasn't good. That's just the way it was. But I can point to other offensive lines that were not good. But yet and still, if you have it in you, you have it in you. You make do. You make things look. It may not have looked, you know, 100% better. But if you are a player, it looks better than what we saw. And here's the thing. I do believe last year that whole regime made a mistake by not bringing in someone that was going to truly compete with Will Levis. I said this last year, that was going to compete with Will Levis. He walked in without proving much of anything, and it was his job. No, bring some. And Mason Rudolph was not any competition to him. He wasn't. Mason Rudolph was coming in. He came in here knowing he was the number two, and you will play only if Will Levis get hurt or he just bombs out completely. But they didn't expect to bomb out completely. So there was never any competition established at that position, nor was there competition established at the right tackle position. Two positions that they've had major problems with. And you don't bring in competition? That's incompetence in a sense. But they've had him for a year. And this is where I start to deviate from what Trevor said. They've had him for a year. They know him better than I do. They know him better than Trevor does. They know him better than you, Adam, or you, Willie. They've seen it day in, day out. So much so that they brought in Brandon Allen and another quarterback. They didn't look at last season and say, we don't need to bring anybody else in. Matter of fact, we don't even need to draft somebody. Because even under that circumstance, Will Levis still showed that he can play. There's a difference. There's a reason why, and they sort of masked it as, you know, Will Levis is hurt. But there's a reason why Mason Rudolph played. Because not that he was just, you know, he was going to take him to the playoffs. No, because that he knew that putting him in, the offense would look a little bit different. The way he can call plays is a little bit different when Mason Rudolph's in the game. Why? It's not that Mason Rudolph is great, but Mason Rudolph, from a mentality standpoint, from the shoulders up, he's a little bit better than Will Levis. So it gives our offense an opportunity to move forward, in a sense. They've seen what they needed to see of Will Levis. And unless he comes back, again, unless Will Levis comes back and he just showed that he made a 180 as a quarterback, he is – if they draft Cam Ward, and I'm saying this in assuming that they're going to draft Cam Ward, what he's doing is battling for a backup position. That's what he's doing. And if he can't beat out the backup, he's gone. Will Levis is not in their future, as I don't believe. He's in their future for a starting quarterback. If he shows something, if we choose not to trade him, matter of fact, listen, they may trade him during the draft. They may do that to get a third-round pick. So let's not look at what they said right now. Let's watch what they do in the draft. Nobody's called us. We hadn't reached out. Yeah, you're right. They haven't. But let's wait until the draft and see if that thought changes. So to me, that's where I deviate from Trevor Maddich, is I think they've seen enough of Will Levis from the shoulder up that they believe he's not a starting quarterback.
615-737-1025, your reaction, your thoughts on what Trevor Maddich had to say yesterday on Stillman & Company. We will continue this conversation coming up next. But before we do, the Atlanta Braves country road trip is coming to town and teaming up with the Nashville Predators and 1025 The Game. Join us at the BetMGM Sports Lounge inside Bridgestone Arena 2 weeks from today, Wednesday, April 16th, for a Braves watch party as they take on the Tampa Bay Rays at noon. There will be free giveaways like hats and t-shirts. Plus, you can win autographed baseballs and free tickets. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game. This Saturday, don't miss Nashville Super Speedway's pre-race concert contest. Nashville's next rising star at Dirks Bentley's Whiskey Row from 1 to 5 p.m. The contest will be emceed by 1025 The Game's Big Joe Dubin, and special guest DJ Mojo will keep the crowd hyped all afternoon. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. So we're talking Will Levis. We heard what Trevor Maddich had to say yesterday on Stillman & Company. We just got Derek's thoughts. Let's get Willie's thoughts on what Trevor Maddich had to say.
One thing I learned about Trevor a long time ago, and for those that are newer to our station, Trevor, when he first started coming on the station, I was doing the afternoons with George and Floyd, for the late Floyd Reese, years ago. And I learned very early that Trevor is never, and this is what I really like about him, he is never afraid to go with the contrarian view that is certainly not with the narrative that a lot of people find themselves falling into in a big group of people. If I ever taught a media studies class in high school or college or something, I think I would have that as one of my subjects, is how a narrative collective starts in a particular subject in a different sports. But Trevor's not afraid to go against the grain. That being said, I really don't – I respect his view as a evaluator mm-hmm. of football. He is outstanding. I don't agree with his take on Levis. I don't know that it was – you know, obviously he was not surrounded by, you know, a loaded team by any stretch at all. But I think week in and week out you could see the flaws, and I think that's the Titans' evaluation of him, is that it was – they can do better, everything they've suggested. So Brinker's, I think, enthusiasm to tell you that he hasn't called anybody, he's not shopping around Will Levis, is just to sort of create the perception that they're keeping all of their options open, that they have all of these ways they can go. And so what that does is maybe have people guessing what they're going to do with the first pick. I think the hay's in the barn on their analysis of Levis. And I think, like D-May said, I think at this point it's deciding whether he's the right guy to be your backup, or is he better off getting a fresh start somewhere else where there's no expectations. And if I were advising Will Levis's camp, I think I would want the fresh start somewhere else with all that in mind.
The question I have, and Jared talked about this yesterday, he said he's worried that his one of his biggest fears may be realized, which is Will Levis starting at quarterback for the Tennessee Titans in 2025 if the Titans trade out of the number one overall pick, draft a different player at a different position, and they're not going to start Brandon Allen. They're not going to start Tim Boyle. Will Levis has more starting experience in the NFL than the two of those players. So if they don't draft a quarterback, it'll probably be Will Levis. We've talked about what that could look like, what it could mean. But it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the Predators, right? If you're a Titans fan and the Titans trade out of the number one pick and they accumulate other assets and they take another player, let's just say Travis Hunter. But that means that Will Levis is going to be starting games again for the Tennessee Titans. Derek, how do you sell that? How do you sell that to Titans fans? Hey, we know you really enjoyed watching Will Levis play football last year. You thought you were done? Nope. He's going to start again.
You don't try to sell it because it's not something you can sell as an organization. You don't sell it. If they choose to move out of that number one spot, that doesn't tell me that Will Levis is their quarterback for this upcoming season. It doesn't. What it tells me is it's going to be a competition battle, and they will pick the best guy out of the bunch. It's just not this foregone conclusion that Brandon Allen be the backup, Will Levis will end up being a starter. No, I think that they're going to allow them to compete. This is assuming they move out of that number one pick. There may not be another quarterback out there for them. And then again, they can trade for a quarterback, you know, during that whole process. But this is sort of projecting them not to trade for a quarterback, but to trade out of that number one pick. I think Will Levis is going to have to prove to them without a shadow of a doubt that he's the starting quarterback. I think in their mind, they've seen everything. They would rather go with Brandon Allen, someone that has sort of been in this system. I think the two systems are alike in San Fran. I'm sure they are. The verbiage, and he even said it, I believe, the verbiage. So I think they believe he has it from the shoulder up. So they're going to allow them to compete for the starting job, and the best guy will win, with them leaning more toward Brandon Allen, I believe. Again, I believe in their mind, Will Levis is a backup quarterback. But I'm not saying he's a backup quarterback to Cam Ward. He's going to be, I think they believe, unless he comes in here and just blows it away, he's a backup to anybody. They would rather go, if it's close, I think they go with Brandon Allen. Will Levis is not their guy. He's damn sure not Borghazi's guy. So, in my mind, if it's close, I'm going with Brandon Allen.
What I'm curious,
yeah, you're basically just tabling the quarterback position. So you have to be careful on how you say that, but
yeah,
you try to be transparent and honest with your fans in terms of Adam's question. And if you do,
but you
end
tell him
that
it's going to be competing for the starting quarterback.
Yeah,
the
job.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's not being handed the job. He's got to win the job. And if he does win the job, hey, look, we've decided not to take a quarterback with the first pick. We didn't see anything out there that was the right thing. We're building the roster. It's going to take some time. And in the meantime, we're going to have a quarterback competition. If Will Levis wins the job, then maybe Trevor is right. And he unexpectedly takes a step forward, and that's a good thing. I still don't think that really changes their long-term view. It doesn't mean they wouldn't be looking for a quarterback next year, because what is the one thing Will Levis has going for him? He's cheap. Mm-hmm. He costs you nothing. So you can have him on the roster, and if he somehow finds it, okay, nothing wrong.
Listen,
and if he's the same as we've always thought, then, mm-hmm, hey, he's cheap. Yeah, and you're moving on, and next year you'd have this search again. I don't think I fault the Titans for not do anything. I'd be a hypocrite if I said they should have gone out and thrown a boatload of money at Sam Darnold. I don't think that was the right thing. We're on the frontier. There wasn't much out there.
The question I have is, sorry, Derek. No. The question I have is, what value would Will Levis have in a trade? The one trade I always go back to is the trade that the Steelers and Eagles made for Kenny Pickett.
Mm-hmm.
When the Steelers traded Kenny Pickett to the Eagles, now Kenny Pickett is on the Cleveland Browns. The Steelers received a third-round pick and 2 7th-round picks for Pickett and a 4th-round pick. Is there a team out there that would make a similar deal for Will Levis? I doubt it. Is it a I'll take what I can get for Will Levis, or are you hoping for a Pickett-like return on investment in a trade for Will Levis?
The only reason you're trading Will Levis, I believe, is if you draft Cam Ward. Then I think the thought about trading Will Levis becomes clearer. Or the picture becomes clearer with Will Levis. So unless, you know, outside of them drafting a quarterback with the first overall pick, I'm not sure if a team is going to give them, you know, anything substantial that they're going to move on. Again, they will, if that is indeed the case, I think they're okay with, even though I don't prescribe to it, I think if you draft Cam Ward, you need to, if you can only get pennies on the dollar for Will Levis, then that's what you do. Or you let it play out during camp, let him get some camp snaps, and hopefully a team, you know, you cross your fingers that maybe a team needs that second backup quarterback because the guy, other guy didn't work out, then you facilitate a trade like that. But if you draft Cam Ward, I think you have to move on from Will Levis. And if I was Will Levis, I would be telling my representative, like, let's find a way under, you know, let's not make it public or try not to make it public, but let's find a way to facilitate a trade where I can go somewhere early enough where I can learn an offense and really truly compete for a starting position. But I'm going to say this about Brandon Allen. And this is why I believe that, you know, there's a reason why they brought him in here. They brought him in to Will to be the backup to him, if anything, but Brandon Allen to be the backup to the guy that they're going to ultimately draft. Outside of San Francisco, where San Francisco had a lot of problems last year, a lot of them, hence they end up with the season that they had. Their offensive line was in flux. Their guys were getting injured. One of their best players played half the season, so they were depleted of talent. Offensive line wasn't good. So he went out there and played behind a situation that wasn't advantageous for him. But people just look at, oh, he couldn't do it in San Francisco. No, San Francisco was a dumpster fire last year. And whatever his numbers were, they were. But when he was in Denver, in Cincinnati, you started to see some of the progression as a quarterback, the more snaps he got. So looking at that alone tells me that Brian Callahan believes in Brandon Allen. Why? Because I saw him. I had him before, and I saw what he can do. So he's a better fit for me than the current guy I have on the roster in Will Levis.
6-1-5.
Jacoby Brissett has been a backup really his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been teams that have entered into a season with him as the starting quarterback just because he's a placeholder that's going to get you by until you find the right guy. So that might be what they find it. And Adam, quickly on your point about the Pickett reference, right? What's Pickett's value in a trade? Could that set some value for Levis? Well, you don't know until you find out. So Brinker may be saying, hey, we haven't called anybody. We're not shopping him around. They probably should be behind. I mean, you say publicly whatever you want to say. Behind the scenes, they should be trying to get a gauge if there is any value, right? I don't know that there is value that would equal Pickett, but that's what you have to do your homework on and find out.
615-737-1025, your thoughts on the future of Will Levis with the Tennessee Titans. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Some interesting comments from Diana Russini of The Athletic on where the Titans stand with the number one overall pick. We'll play those for you and react to them as well. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.